Radio.
Forming Young Minds. An interview with James Burfitt, Headmaster of Redfield College, Sydney.
I'm joined today by Mr. James Burfitt, Headmaster of Redfield College. Thanks for joining me, James.
Absolute pleasure to be here, Luke.
Now, I just wanted to start with a very simple and possibly curly question, in fact. What is education?
That's the $64,000 question, I guess, mate, or possibly even more given inflation these days. But certainly at Redfield, I think education is helping to form the whole individual intellectually, morally, spiritually, physically, and certainly socially as well. And this is a really exciting area to be in professionally, because the full gamut of what it is to be a human being is something that we address from day to day. Big picture, the micro stuff, it's really exciting. But really, it's a development and the formation of the full individual. And that's what we all set out to do. It's a very difficult task. Don't always succeed, but I really think that's what education is.
Mm. Just going into that a little bit more, you talked about development of the full individual. I guess if you ask, say, just the layman on the street, just ask them, what is education? Why do you send kids to school? Mm. The usual answer would probably be, I don't want to speak for everyone, but probably be something along the lines of, well, so that they can go to university or get a good job, sure. Make some money, make a living. Would you agree with that sentiment, or is there something more happening there?
Oh, it's broader. It's broader. Look, that is certainly it's part of it. You know, our top students want to do courses which typically require a top ATAR, but the top students are also typically smart enough to appreciate that they really have to develop all sorts of other areas of themselves as they go through school. Otherwise, they hit glass ceilings along the way in relation to their education. For example, these days, to get into medicine, which is the holy grail of university courses, 99.95 ATAR, etc., there's a big component now in relation to the student being able to articulate exactly why they want to be a doctor. And I know of cases where somebody has hit the 99.95 and hasn't got in because the interview hasn't gone well, or the curriculum vitae suggests that the student isn't broad enough and possibly doesn't have the maturity in the short term to be the sort of medical practitioner that the medicos want out there dealing with patients. And I think that's, in many ways, that's such a positive thing, because the absolute focus on vocational education, I think, can be quite negative. It can be quite narrowing, and it can narrow people who really have phenomenal potential to develop into people who are going to make a big difference in society.
Just on that topic of development, how exactly does a teacher or a school develop a person?
Academically, we should offer, a school should offer a broad enough course of studies such that the student is challenged. And while relevance is really important, while teaching, we will use examples which the student can relate to, etc. But relevance can be a limitation, and we need to broaden horizons big time. And I think we need to throw ideas and thoughts and challenges at students which make them think well beyond their immediate world. And their immediate world these days can be very broad, because I think the worldwide web and the information revolution has thrown up all sorts of challenges, and unfortunately it's typically in the news media in relation to education for the reasons of, you know, poor use of social media, and somebody's been cyberbullied, etc. And that is a reality, there's no two ways about that. But also, students have this extraordinary treasure trove of information, so if they don't know what the capital city of Morocco is, they can look it up. And a student told me the other day it's Rabat. I thought it was Casablanca. Anyway, there you go. But so certainly we challenge them. We have a good course of studies, and look, these days there are courses that we run which are very relevant. You know, we have to teach mandatory technology in year 7 and 8 in New South Wales. I think that's great, because that enables students to, according to that syllabus, come up with a concept, plan it and manifest it. And it can be everything from a piece of software through to a bowl, a breakfast bowl. Well, that's very practical, and that's great, because to use one's hands is a really important skill, and it's something that can help us to express ourselves, and that can go into visual arts and creative arts like that. But at the same time, to offer Latin, for example, Latin's not everybody's cup of tea, but it's an insight into a world which many people don't have any access to at all. And it's extraordinary how enthusiastic young people get frequently. That isn't to say that we have massive numbers taking elective Latin through to year 12, but those that do, and there are a good number of students that do that, they're really keen. And it's because it's this beautiful logical language that really inspires them. Personally, I'm a modern history teacher, and it's a fantastic subject to teach because you're teaching ideology, you're teaching the story of the past, you're giving students the ability to analyze, to think. And frankly, I think anybody that comes out of a school who can concentrate and can think, can express themselves in written form and verbally, is doing very well, and the world's their oyster, really.
Mm. Just on that point, actually, I guess sometimes we can run the risk with the way that the HSC is set up, say, for example, NAPLAN. One of the complaints about that is things like teaching to the test. And I guess in my own experience, there's times where I've felt like running the risk of simply accumulating knowledge that I'm not going to use or really process in any kind of way, just to write it out on a piece of paper when it comes exam time. Is education meant to be more than this? You were kind of hinting at this in your last answer.
Mm. Certainly it is. I haven't even really spoken about, you know, what most schools do to bring on the full individual. But just focusing on the academic, there's a lot of research these days that says that a student who attempts a language, even if they're lousy at languages. You know, my wife, for example, has a real facility with languages, and I'm a battler. So I speak awful Spanish, and she speaks great Spanish, and we live there for a bit. Well, that's all very well and good. But even if one doesn't have a facility for language, and it's the same with music, that really brings on the intellect. It really brings on cognitive development. And that comes out of research, and that really hits the deck in a practical level from the point of view that having to do mandatory music, having to do mandatory languages through to, in New South Wales, only up to year 8, is a great idea because it really helps people come on. It's not all about what we learn. It's the process of learning, which I think is really significant as well. And I think we all focus on that. For example, when I studied modern history at school, it was super broad. So you had to cover huge sections, and you did it fairly lightly, and there's a good argument for that. These days we do it in more depth, and that's great because students will know all about 20th century Germany or a particular individual, Leon Trotsky, somebody like that. That's great, but the process is also super significant too, because one takes those skills, that ability to articulate, to argue a case, to analyse, to not be deceived by spin. I think that's really important. And they're the sort of things we like to bring on. In relation to helping students develop holistically, certainly other areas, you know, responding to the call of great leaders. You know, the Holy Father put out that call, you know, in recent time. You know, I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting and dirty. Well, I guess we responded prior to that, but that really gave us impetus to look at what we do with community service. Kids love community service. They respond so well to it, and it is integral. It should be an integral part of their education because it's all about becoming aware of need, you know, need next door, need in an impoverished part of your city, need that we don't think about, you know. Amazing. You know, there's amazing potential for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts do parents come into this? Because I've seen studies that have suggested that parents have much less influence on the learning of their children, on the education of their children, than they did, say, 30, 50, 70 years ago. And that's been mainly the slack on that has been taken up by media peers. How does that sit with you?
Well, we're run by a foundation called PARED, Parents for Education, and that was... I won't give you the full history of PARED, but essentially parents have been the first educators, and that has been something that's been echoed by many, many educators, and famously John Paul II, Paul VI, certainly most of the modern popes. And it just makes so much sense. And it is a fallacy that people do believe in that you know, once the child becomes an adolescent, then mum and dad sort of drift into insignificance in their life. And that isn't the case. studies show that the parents still have more of an impact than the peer group in relation to how the student's developing and where they're going, especially in relation to values. In terms of the specifics of education, the reading, writing, arithmetic, as it were, I mean, the hot housing that occurs and the massive growth in the tutoring industry suggests that parents are certainly involved, even if vicariously, in the education of their students. I'm not a big fan necessarily of that sort of approach to education, because much of that, I really think much of that that part of education has to do with ticking the boxes for what you were referring to before in relation to NAPLAN and those sort of things. NAPLAN's not a diagnostic, it's a great diagnostic. It's used in a league table sense. That's not what it was designed for. And for people, for example, to attack NAPLAN through tutoring doesn't make any sense. It certainly does for the HSE. The HSE is a performance-based exam, and on the basis of that, one is selected by UAC in New South Wales, or is given the opportunity by UAC, having been given an index to enter a course which the University Admission Centre feels may be most appropriate for your, you know, intellectual capacity. They're different things. But certainly in terms of parents being involved in the full education, the character education of their children, we have a massive duty. I mean, I'm a parent of a lot of kids. You know, I've got boys and girls, and I can't take my eye off what is my most important work, you know, certainly my most important apostolate in a Catholic sense, but it doesn't come much more important than that. And many people speak about, you know, I'm not sure where it comes from, but, you know, on your deathbed, you're looking back on your life. Regretting having come home from work is going to be pretty insignificant compared to regretting not having spent time with your kids when you really ought to have done. And that's a big challenge for all of us.
Mm, yeah, that's a fantastic message. So thank you very much for joining me, and thank you for your work out here at Redfield.
Oh, thanks, Luke. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thanks. God bless.
That was an interview with James Burfitt on Forming Young Minds. For more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.